Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This passage was Dr. Robertson's life verse. He came to claim it as his life verse because of a tragedy that happened in his life. He lost a little child at a very young age, and he said, you know, God has a purpose in this that's a good purpose. And as a result of that, they started a camp they named after his daughter that was deceased, Camp Joy. And at that camp, they sent everybody there for free. Now, I've never seen a camp since that it's free. It's always $400 to send your kid to camp. But it was free. And they saw thousands of young people saved as a result of that. So that was his life verse. And some of you, that may be your life verse. You may not have a life verse, but it's a good thing to do, to have a verse that you claim and say, this really is a key verse for me, and God's used this in my life. For me, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. A very simple way to interpret that verse was explained to me through a teacher. And he said it this way: God was so pleased with his Son that he wanted a whole family just like him. So he would be the firstborn, and every believer would be those that come after. And he said all these things that happen in your life work together to help define your life and to make you be what he wants you to be, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And if we didn't have things that we might call negative or trials, probably we wouldn't be as conformed to his will and image as we are at this point. But it's through trials and struggles and difficulties that we learn and we realize we need his help. And we learn to depend upon him even more. As we've been in this series, it's principles of spiritual growth. And this morning, we're going to talk about purpose. Purpose. Having a purpose. And what is our purpose? Why are you here? Sometimes people feel like they have no purpose and they commit suicide because they feel like there's no reason to live anymore. They have no purpose. Sometimes people in their golden years, and they're elderly, they've retired, they're empty nesters, their children have gone, and they lose purpose, and they think, why am I even here? What purpose do I have? So it's important for us to realize if we're alive, God has a purpose for us. And if he didn't, we'd probably be gone. We'd be taken home. So God has a purpose for each one of us, and sometimes we may not know exactly what that purpose is. Sometimes it may be very clear. If you go through the scripture, you find there were different figures that had a very specific purpose. Abraham left the Ur of Chaldees, called out of the Ur of Chaldees to go, not knowing whither he went, but to a land and a promise, a covenant that was made with him. And he became the father of a multitude of people. God had a special purpose for him. We look at Moses. Moses had a very special purpose to take the children of Israel and lead them out of the land of Egypt and slavery to a promised land. So God had a very specific purpose for Moses. If you look at Samuel, God had a purpose in calling him the last of the judges and as a prophet. Wow, what a great man Samuel was, in a very specific purpose. We look at the life of Daniel. You think of Joseph, how God meant it for good for him to be sold into slavery. Even the New Testament, you read how God had a purpose for the disciples, Peter, the Apostle Paul. And God has a purpose not just for all these people, not just for those we read their biography, great men of the past, but he has a purpose for every single person. Every person has a reason to be here on this earth. And he has a special purpose for us here on this earth. So He's telling us that he wants every believer to be like his son, Jesus Christ. There's an interesting or funny story about that when they were first inventing golf, a Scotsman was trying to explain to Ulysses S. Grant, the president, about this new game. And so he's standing next to Ulysses Grant, standing next to the Scotsman, and he takes a hearty swing at the ball, and all he hits is the dirt and splattered dirt up in the president's beard and on his jacket. And, you know, he stood there and watched, and he swung again and missed again, hit the ground and messed everything up. And then after six tries, the ball's still sitting there. And Ulysses Grant says, "I do see that it takes a great deal of exercise, but I don't understand the purpose of the ball." That ball lacked purpose, you know, when no one was hitting it, they were just hitting the dirt. So we need to have a purpose, you know, that ball should have had a purpose to go in the hole, but it didn't. So we need a purpose. Thomas Carlyle said this, "A man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder." Have a purpose in life, and having it, throw such strength of mind and muscle into your work as God has given you. So God wants us to fulfill whatever that purpose is for our lives. And it's different for every individual. And it changes from day to day. What purpose there might have been today may be different tomorrow. You know, I think sometimes of my wife and how I don't know if she knew what she was getting into when she married me. Might not have been a full idea. It seemed in Bible class probably like a good idea. And then you find out all the things involved in the ministry, and through the years, there were things that you didn't anticipate happening. And so that's the way it is in life. There are some things God used you for. You never thought that God would use those things. And as I think back, growing up on a farm, there are things, and in school, I thought, I'll never use this. And you use all of it. God had a purpose in it. Even in failure, God has a purpose in failure. Some of the big things that you learn are through our failures. And so God has a purpose for our lives. But I want you to turn with me to Colossians 1:16. If you're in Romans, it's not too much farther. Colossians 1:16. "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." So it includes the human race, the animals, the universe, the underworld of angels and demons. And he goes on to say, all things were created by him and for him. Now, in that simple statement, it says a lot about our purpose. God is not a spare tire that when you need him, you pull him out and put him on. You know, we heard about foxhole religions. You know, when you're in a fix, you have nowhere else to turn, you turn to God. Well, God is not a creation of man. Man is a creation of God. And we are here for him. Every one of us. You don't have to be in the ministry to qualify for that. We're here for him. And all we do, we're here to please him. So God created us for himself, for his own pleasure. What is our purpose? Our purpose should be to please him. So whatever we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. And if you go to work in a job or a shop or an office, you're saying, I'm doing this for the glory of God. This is what he wants me to do. I have a purpose. If you're rearing children, you're doing it with a purpose. I want to glorify God. Whatever you do, even in recreation, I want to glorify God. Everything should be an honor and glory to him. So we are here on this earth for him. That's our primary purpose. If we lose that, we can begin to drift. And we think, well, I have no purpose on this earth. And we get in the wrong crowd. And then we start associating with the wrong things. And before we know it, we're drifting around, totally controlled by our emotions, by our friends and associations, and we lose the purpose that God loved us. He has something special. We are uniquely created by him, for him. so that all that we do should honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is going to be easy to find. If you're new, go back to Genesis, first book in your Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us, now when you see the plural pronoun, us, it's referring to God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the triune God. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So man was created in the image of God. God is spirit, so it's not that we're in a bodily form similar to the body of God. See, this is a realm that we don't fully comprehend. But God created us in intellectual and moral likeness. So do you realize every person ever created in the face of this earth and everyone that's ever been born has some element of knowledge and has some element of morality? That has been distorted by the fall so that it is not complete. It is not what it could be or not what it was in the garden. You may think about it. There are people in this world around us that are unsaved that do have certain amount of morality and ethics. If they didn't, it'd be totally just like an animal. So they do have that. They're created in God's image. But it's distorted by sin, and that's why there has to be some organization in our society. That's why we need redemption, so that Christ can instill his righteousness in us, so that we could be restored back to what he wants us to be. So every person has that element that they were created in. It's just that it's distorted because of sin. So we are created in his image, intellectual and moral likeness. For what purpose? To honor him, to bring glory unto the Lord. But we can only do that after we're saved. You can't bring honor to God by your own power, your own flesh. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Yeah, you know, it really gets me. There's so many people that trying to build themselves up. Look at what I've done. Particularly in sports, you notice this. You know, that look at what I made that basket. I made a touchdown. And, you know, they're celebrating. Like, all right, what do you do after that? An interesting story I read. I'd not give the person's name, but he became a professional football coach in the NFL. But he was a college coach before that and even before that. And all the time with his family, he ignored his wife and his children, never bought him any presents, never did anything for any of his children. And he kept investing his life simply in his profession of being a coach. He made it all the way to the NFL. And not only made the NFL, but he won the Super Bowl on one occasion. Let me ask you, he lost his family, his children. What did he really have after that? Now, what's next after you win the Super Bowl? See, he lost his purpose. He didn't see that God had a bigger plan for him. You think about it, what all people playing the lottery, what if you won big? I mean, what do you do then? What do you do then? And by the way, most people lose. They don't win. And most of the people, unfortunately, that do win, lose. Their lives are a mess afterwards. Hard to believe. So it's important for us to realize God has a purpose for us. He created us for him. And until we're saved and born again, saved the Bible way, we cannot fully fulfill that purpose for God. So when you get saved, one of the things that happens is, like Paul, Lord, what would you have me to do? He didn't ask that question before he got saved. He asked the question after he got saved. Something happened in his life. And that happens to every person. When you get saved, it's like, hey, there's a new beginning now. Where do I stand? And what's my life all about? And what do you want me to do? Amen. God has a purpose and a plan. And when you get saved, he'll guide and direct you into something very specific of how he can use you. John Wesley said this, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. And I think that summarizes it pretty well. He was wholeheartedly into the ministry, wholeheartedly what God wants. And I would say God used him in a pretty great way. Are we wholeheartedly into the purpose that God has for us? What is his will for our lives? And then God will work out the circumstances to help form Christ in us over time. When you get saved, and we said this in Sunday school this morning, talking about the fullness of the Spirit, the early disciples, those at Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit immediately. They didn't have a new Christian class. They didn't have a Bible course. They didn't have time to mature. They were filled immediately. And we can be filled with the Holy Spirit as we yield and surrender to him. But for Christ to be fully formed in us takes time. And it happens through a series of trials and struggles and successes. And sometimes God chastens us, and sometimes he leads us through experiences just to draw us closer to him. As we yield and surrender, Christ is formed in us. Do you ever fail the Lord in some trial or some struggle or even a temptation? You fail the Lord and you get frustrated. Why did I do that? Do you know the one thing that happens when that happens? It's a reminder of our need for him. And it causes us to come back to him and say, Lord, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I need your power and your presence. So he'll work through us. In Romans 8, 20, 28, he said, we know all things. Now, if you want to get into the Greek, here's what it means. All things. Everything. That God brings people in your life for a reason. Some of them you may not like initially, but he brings them in your life for a reason. Maybe it's one of your children and you don't like them. That he brought them for you. You didn't realize that, did you? You needed them. They're a help to you, to help refine you. And sometimes there are people at work, you say, I have a hard time getting along with them, or a neighbor. See, everything works together for good to them that love God. Everything. And it may be that you end up with a lot of bills. And how am I going to take care of these? They're just different things that happen. Some illness or this virus or anything can happen that you think is negative God uses to slow us down and to make us pause and to seek him to work in us. So if we want to fulfill God's purpose, we don't have to be on top of everything every day. We have to just learn to be more reliant upon him every day. So these things work in us for good. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Peter preached at Pentecost, and 3,000 people were saved. Stephen preached, and he was stoned to death. Both filled with the Holy Spirit. See, God has a purpose for our lives. We can't determine what it is. We just have to yield to whatever it is. Lord, what do you want me to do? If you ever hear somebody play the piano like Matt did this, I took lessons when I was young, but it didn't do that for me. I wish there was some miracle I could just go play like that. I don't wish he got bad. I just wish I was better. But yeah, I'm not going to be. I got a long way to catch up with that. I spent the rest of my life, maybe in heaven, maybe then, but not here. It's not going to happen. I wish I could speak Spanish and French and Greek and, you know, several languages that I could use. That'd be a great help. The problem is you've got to study hard and work on it. It takes time. I wish I could just miraculously learn all these things. But it doesn't always happen that way. You know, I realize God has a purpose for my life, and it's just not part of my purpose right now. I've got other things. And there are things that I can do that no one else can do. And there are things you can do that no one else can do. There are people you come into contact with no one else will come in contact with. And there are ways you can help that nobody else can help. There are times that you may have to pray that nobody else has that time to pray like you do. So everybody has a purpose. The steps of a good man are ordered, and he's got steps for every one of us, and we delight ourselves in whatever that plan is. Let's not be discouraged about our circumstances. Let's realize God has me here for a reason. I'm going to delight in it. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Once he realized the thorn in the flesh wouldn't go away, he said, I glory in that. Why? Because Christ is being formed in me. So we can find our purpose better through struggle and trial and difficulty and sometimes even doubt. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as the Word of God and our circumstances and the Holy Spirit reveals to us our comparison to Christ, we change and we become more what He wants us to be. That is our purpose more than anything, to honor and please the Lord. We are here for Him. It should be, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not, Lord, will you do this for me? What is your will for my life? So God does use our struggles, our trials, and our failures. But Christ never fails. We need to think that if Jesus Christ compels us to do something, and if we're obedient, He'll lead us to the right result, to success. So we never should have thought that our dreams or success are God's purpose for us. Rather, His purpose may be the exact opposite. Oswald Smith stated that. It's just, I'm conformed to His purpose. I don't know what the result will be, but He knows, and I'm going to trust Him that that will be the right thing. So we are not conformed to that which we center our devotion and love. We're conformed to Him. Someone could care more about their Sunday school class than they care about the Lord. A good thing, but care about that more. They love their family more than they love the Lord. But our key goal and purpose is to please Him primarily. Then all these other things fall in their proper place. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So He knows. He has the plan for each of our lives. Paul said it best when he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is called the Christ life, Him living in and through us. Paul also stated in 2 Corinthians 4:10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So it's saying that it is Christ being formed in us. It is Him living through us. It is not even us. We're so changed that God's purpose through us is for Him to live His life in and through us. So we have to keep our purpose clear. What is God's plan for your life? What is your purpose? If you don't have a purpose, there's something wrong because He has a purpose for you. And it begins by centering your life on Him. I'm here to please Him, and everything I do, I want to please Him. How am I associated with my local church? I'm going to be faithful. What does God want you to do with your family? Maybe they're saved. You want to encourage them. Maybe pray for them. Maybe there's a neighbor. You need a witness to them. There are numerous things that God has for us if we yield and surrender. And if we yield and surrender, He'll guide and show us how to do it. In some cases, it may be something that you don't think you can do. Remember what Zechariah said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not you that does it anyway, it's Him. And sometimes He uses us to do things He never thought we could do. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God has a plan for a life. And like the headlights on a car, the farther you go, the farther they shine. But when you're sitting still, they only go so far. When you take a step of faith, God reveals to you the next step and the next and the next. There's an interesting story that I read, and I hope I can get it straight. But Tennessee Williams tells this story, and it was about a young couple, and this one man, Brodsky, had liking for a young lady, and his dad ran a bookstore, and that was not what he wanted for him. He said, go to college. So he went to college, and while he was in college, his father passed away. He came back and buried his father, and then he married the love of his life. She was very outgoing. He was more reserved. And she was not content just to be in a bookstore and selling books, and she wanted to do more. She had a tremendous voice, and someone came along and encouraged her to go with them. And she went on the circuit of vaudeville and all the things that would entertain people throughout Europe. But before she left, her husband was heartbroken and said, I'm going to give you this key because someday you'll need it, and I'll wait for you till you come back. And he became so reserved that he mostly sat in the back of that bookstore and read and buried himself in his sorrows and his books. But after 15 or 16 years, Lila came back. And when she walked in the door of the bookstore, she laid down the key and she said, I'm back. He said, well, what is it I can help you with? It was obvious he didn't even recognize her. And she said, well, I came to look for a book. He said, well, what book are you looking for? And she described the book as though it was her experience. Well, there's a young man, a young lady, they were in love, and she went away, and he said, I don't think I can remember that book, but it may have been something by Tolstoy. And that was the title of Tennessee Williams' story, Something by Tolstoy. She realized that he didn't know who she was. And she left. For all those years, while he waited, his purpose was lost because he buried himself in his sorrows and his circumstances and missed the opportunity when his wife returned because he was so consumed with his struggles. He lost his purpose. You see, when you lose your purpose, you have no reason to live. When you lose your purpose, you feel like you're a failure. When you lose your purpose, you no longer are glorifying God. It's important to understand God has a purpose, maybe very simple, maybe just day by day that He reveals it to you. But we have to understand God has a purpose for each of us. Let's bow for prayer this morning.